Hello, and welcome to a particularly tired Sunday morning edition of Collision Catch-Up on this December 16th episode. My name is Aaron Grant.
I was definitely going to criticize you if you forgot the date.
I know you were. You were locked and loaded, and I was like, nope, I'm going to actually remember this time.
I was also going to say welcome back to Collision Catch-Up, as last week, unfortunately, me being under the weather after wrestling four matches in 2 days, it wasn't happening. I tried to speak and barely had a voice, so I apologize to everybody that was looking forward to a show last week, but it just wasn't in the books. So
yeah, and we're really toughing through this week. As
I'll be honest, yeah, I'm banged up. I had an incredible main event, anything goes match against Crystal Moon last night for Crossbody Pro Wrestling, which should be released within the next couple of weeks on their YouTube channel, so definitely check that out. Also had a hell of a match against Travis Moore for Crossbody Pro Wrestling Uproar. That'll be coming out within the next couple of weeks as well. So really looking forward to you guys getting a chance to see the body of work that I'm putting out with Crossbody. Obviously, I had the opportunity as well last Friday, and it is online already too, if you're listening to this, to wrestle literally one of the best wrestlers in the world in Speedball Mike Bailey. I haven't really had a chance to talk on this publicly yet, so I'm just going to take a couple minutes here and talk about my feelings about it, because it kind of processed. Like, this is a guy that I've been watching for years upon years to now finally have the opportunity to step into the ring with him as not just a referee, but a competitor. Was a very special moment for me. From being a podcaster to a referee to a wrestler, I've watched Speedball grow into literally one of the best wrestlers in the world. He's always been so goddamn good, but he's just gotten so much better. Obviously, being contracted to Impact Wrestling, TNA Wrestling is a huge part of that. TV obviously enhances your ability to, you know, do your thing. So, it was pretty mind-blowing to have that experience. A big thanks to Ben, Big Ben Ortmans, for believing in me. He believed in me when a lot of people wouldn't. He gave me opportunities when a lot of people wouldn't. And this year has been a prime example of that, from being in the ring with guys like, literally, like Speedball Mike Bailey. I'm having a chance to wrestle guys like Aiden Prince, Justin Newhook, like the Tyler Thomas. The body of work that I've had in Crossbody this year has been amazing. So to cap it off last night, you know, breaking the fourth wall here, but literally wrestling my best friend in the main event of the show was honestly very humbling, and I'm super excited to see what we do in 2024 with Crossbody. But I'm done rambling on here. We're here to talk about Collision Catch-Up. And are here to talk about Collision, catch you up on Collision. So I say, without further ado, we dive into the mix and take it away with your number three.
I would just like to say I had a very hard time picking my top three. This was an excellent episode of Collision.
And keep in mind, we watched it on tape delay like usual, and I was seeing stuff all over social media being like, this is one of the best episodes of AEW TV in a minute. And I was like, oh, like,
made it very exciting to be able to go and watch it.
Yeah, and honestly, I would definitely agree. Like, on all fronts, it delivered last night. So, yeah. With that said, you're number three.
With that said, I put my number three as the introduction to Sky Black.
Yeah, so it's been teased for a very long time that they were going to do something with Sky Blue and Julia Hart, and it seemed like it kind of fell off.
Well, there was kind of that back and forth where it seemed like Sky Blue might be starting to regain her autonomy, like get away from Julia Hart a little bit, not feel so taken by the mist. But it finally happened. And at the end of the match between Abaddon and, you have to remind me of the name, I'm so sorry.
It was Jasmine Allure.
Jasmine Allure, thank you. Which also, side note, great match. I've been really appreciating Abaddon's character lately, more than I have in a long time. So just had to put that over real quick. But we saw at the end Julia Hart make her appearance in the ring.
Laid down the TBS championship and was like, here it is. And as
Abaddon
went to grab it, Or sorry, she what teased to grab it. She tackled Julia instead, started beating her down, then picked up the TBS championship. All of a sudden, you see Sky Blue or Black, or I'm not entirely
Sky.
Sure. Yeah, Sky coming out. And it seemed like there was kind of a back and forth between Abaddon and Sky there for a second where they were looking at each other. They both turned and looked at Julia, so it seemed like they were going to kind of both team up on Julia. Abaddon took a step forward, and boom! Sky with the attack, and it does seem like these two are on the same page.
Yeah, and the official... I was going to say the word birth. I don't know about that. The official reveal of who is now known as Sky Black, the newest member of House of Black.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued to see what they do with that going forward. It's interesting because we'll kind of allude to it later on, but it's almost seeming like AEW is beefing up their women's tag division.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's for a particular reason or not, but we'll have to wait and see going forward. With that said, my number three this week, a Continental Classic matchup between Eddie Kingston and Daniel Garcia.
Nice.
I popped so hard for Kingston just beating the shit out of Garcia in the corner, and Garcia's just still somehow doing his dance.
While, like, crumbled in the corner.
Yep, just dead.
It's like a taunt.
Oh, literally, yeah. He's making a mockery of Kingston, and Kingston wasn't having it, just kicking the crap out of Daniel Garcia, ending up getting the win in this match as well. It was actually both men... had to win this match to still be involved in the tournament. So Daniel Garcia officially mathematically eliminated from the possibility of moving forward in the tournament. Eddie Kingston, let's be real, he has the most to lose in this tournament. He put both of his championships up on the line to make this triple crown. So it is good to see that Kingston keeps his spot going forward, and I'm very curious to see who's in the finals, because I'll be honest, like, from the beginning, it seemed like there was kind of a direction, and then all of a sudden, like, guys like Brody King, guys like Andrade are getting, like, these big pushes during the tournament, and I genuinely, I wouldn't say mind-boggled me, but, like...
It's exciting and it's surprising. Like, yeah. I like to see, I like to expect the unexpected, and unfortunately, I think we have gotten quite good at predicting outcomes in wrestling, so... I do truly enjoy being surprised and being taken off guard, and it's made me very invested in this tournament to say that I genuinely don't know exactly what direction it's going in.
Yeah, no, it's going to be very interesting. A huge main event match, or huge match going down, obviously, with the finals at World's End. And yeah, we've got a couple more weeks of tournament matches to go through. The last round robin match is going down this week, and then the semifinals, I assume, next week to lead into the pay-per-view, so.
Makes sense. All right, getting into my number two was just an extra match. Like, it wasn't a hugely promoted match to my knowledge, as well as it wasn't a part of the Continental Classic, but it was the showdown between Orange Cassidy and Brian Keith.
Brian Keith is my number one. I'll just flat out say it. This past weekend... Brian Keith's been making a name on the independents for a while.
See, and I have to admit, until tonight, I was not very familiar with Brian Keith. Tonight, it's Sunday. Until this episode of Collision, I was not very familiar with Brian Keith, but he completely blew me away.
Yeah, he has a whole aura and vibe about him, and to see him carrying himself the way he would on the independents on TV, and like having that confidence in himself, nailing all of his spots, and like just being on point between being a last minute addition to the Ring of Honor pay-per-view, doing the Survival of the Fittest qualifier with Jack Cartwheel, getting into the Survival of the Fittest match to crown the new Ring of Honor television champion, unfortunately unsuccessful, but a hell of a showing, and then getting the opportunity to challenge for the International Championship here on Collision. It's very, very evident that we're probably going to be seeing Brian Keith under an AEW contract within... I'd be surprised if he walked out of that damn building last night without a contract.
And I'm incredibly excited to see that, because even though at the end of this match, it was Orange Cassidy who took the win.
And with that sneaky little mousetrap as well.
Oh my gosh, I love the mousetrap. Oh, it was so good. Sorry. But it was a really great sportsmanship moment as Orange Cassidy puts on his sunglasses, Brian Keith puts on his hat, and Orange Cassidy goes for the handshake.
And I would just like to say, a little bit out of, like, not out of character for Orange Cassidy.
I would call it out of character.
But he normally does, like the lazy fist bump, and he actually, like, full out extended his hand for a handshake, and I was kind of like, oh, that's different.
And I noticed, because he kind of started with that lazy hand, but it kind of, like, perked up. It transitioned into, like, a no, this is real.
Yeah.
And Brian Keith smacking his hand out of the way, which everybody's like, oh, that sucks. But instead takes a step back, holds his hat, and bows to Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, tip of the cap to Orange Cassidy, to which Orange Cassidy gives him a tip of the sunglasses.
Tip of the sunglasses, and leaves Brian Keith the ring.
Yeah, that was really cool to see.
And I think that's very indicative that we will be seeing more of Brian Keith on AEW television. And
it'd be crazy not to. Whether it's, you know, they pick him up just to essentially, you know, throw him on Ring of Honor for a bit and do his thing there. Regardless, Brian Keith should be making a contract doing this stuff. Like, he is so good.
100%.
And to see him get the opportunities this weekend and literally knock it out of the park was very cool to see. As somebody who obviously is an independent wrestler, that's kind of all you need sometimes, is just that one opportunity to show what you're about. And Brian Keith took that ball and he ran with it. So
absolutely.
Props to him, man. My number two this week, we're currently going to be skipping my number one now. My number two this week actually was the women's street fight match between Willow Nightingale, Chris Statlander against Diamante and Mercedes Martinez.
I really was so back and forth on whether or not this was on my list. And that's what I mean. Like, I really genuinely struggled. And I also kind of struggled with the order of my list, I'll even say. Like, my order doesn't mean much at this point, but I fully agree with this choice.
Yeah, no, it was, number one, the cosplay was fantastic. I will say that.
Upon some Googling, because I've been really just, sorry to cut you off there, but I've been loving Chris Statlander's cosplay lately. And this one, she came out with Willow both in a white dress shirt, holding a briefcase, like... We kind of gave each other that look of like, oh, we don't know if we know this one. Upon some Googling, it was from Pulp Fiction.
Yes, I did. I did hear them reference that on commentary, which was very interesting. Yeah, very known that Chris Statlander is very into cosplay, doing all the I'm blanking on his name, to be honest with you.
Oh, Ben Stiller.
Yeah, I was gonna say Stifler.
Stifler.
I knew that was not it. Oh, man. That tells you everything you need to know about me, ladies and gentlemen. But, yes. The women's street fight match, genuinely enjoyed it. They kicked the crap out of each other. There was some dirty spots, too. Like, at one point, they ended up catching Diamante and just gorilla pressing her onto the steel steps. It looked disgusting.
There's a glass bottle involved.
Yeah, no, that was like the beginning of the match. Willow just getting cracked with a glass bottle. I was like, all right, that's how we're starting off. We're starting off hot, I guess. Yeah, no, just across the board, I genuinely enjoyed this match. And I got to say, these four girls brought it. The women's division brought it on AEW Collision last night. Straight up. It was really good to see a lot more focus on the women than usual.
Both in promo context as well as in ring work.
Yeah, if you're considering that as well, yeah, no, you had the Toni Storm promo. Like, there was a genuine influence on the women, or like a influx of women on the show yesterday, and I was really happy to see that. It's been widely known that AEW has had problems booking their women's division for a while.
Unfortunately.
It does suck because, goddamn, it's probably the most talented women's division in wrestling. It's questionable. You look at Impact, you look at WWE, but, like, damn, that roster is stacked.
And I have to say, that's why a lot of my top three does tend to focus on the women's matches. It's not because I'm biased in any way. It's just because, genuinely, I feel like they don't get the shine that they often deserve. And it's just, if it could be highlighted, I would like to highlight it because they are an incredible roster.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the girls continue to bring it too. And this was a prime example. It seems like anytime we have some sort of a gimmick match between the girls, like, they go all out. There is no, like, pussyfooting around it is the best way to put it, man. Like, they kick the shit out of each other.
And, they came to fight. They came to bleed. Like, they no holds
barred. They earned their keep that night. So, big props to all four ladies involved. Willow and Statlander getting the victory. But, yeah, I was really impressed with this match. It was just, like, it was a car crash, but, like, it was an entertaining car crash. That's the best way to describe it. Let's be real, like, with street fights, that's kind of what you're walking into, so.
Yeah.
We covered my number one, so.
Getting into my number one, it was our main event Continental Classic match between Bryan Danielson and...
Brody, I got that dog in me, King.
Thank you. Just, I've been so baffled watching Brody King's progression in this tournament.
I think that's been the biggest takeaway from the tournament for me, is seeing certain talents really elevate themselves throughout this tournament.
And I appreciate that, because I feel like sometimes with tournaments like this, it's like we were alluding to it earlier, that it starts and you're like, oh, well, this is their guy that they're pushing, so this is going to be who rules the tournament, no doubt.
And that's usually the direction tournaments go in, is like you can see the clear-cut winner and direction that they're going in, but...
It feels like AEW has actually been like, no, we're going to use this tournament to put over some of our guys that maybe don't get this spotlight as much as they should. And like I said, he has absolutely blown me away in this tournament. And Bryan Danielson, this is just a side note. I genuinely, at the beginning of the episode, was debating on putting somewhere in my top three just the digs that Nigel is taking at Danielson. So that's why I was like, I feel like this is a good... Riddle bones,
Bryan Danielson.
Riddle bones, and like just taking all these comments, and you could just tell that they are also building to something I assume to take place at All In.
Yeah, Wembley's got to host the return match. Nigel McGuinness, I would love to see him and Danielson go at it, and I'm assuming that's what all these comments and everything are all about. I'm assuming Brian's going to eventually be like, yo, you want to do this, bruh?
Yeah, it's got to be leading to something, but not only was it an incredible match, but just that additional incredible storytelling outside of the match, as well as the storytelling of, unfortunately, brittle Bryan Danielson, as we look at his eye patch and just the... There's no more hesitation in people targeting that eye.
Yep.
They at one point they felt bad, but now it's
it's one of anything those things goes. Where, like, if you're gonna put some sort of a bandage or something, yeah, sure, it's a protection, but at the same time, that's a target for your opponent.
Oh, absolutely, and that's a smart target, but
especially within this tournament where there is a lot on the line, potentially being AEW's first Triple Crown champion, and Brody King has stepped up in this tournament, and in a storyline basis, like he's not going to let somebody like Bryan Danielson, although yes, Bryan, one of the best wrestlers in the world, Brody is trying to step up to that level, and he's not going to let Bryan one up him, essentially.
No. And in the end of this match, Bryan did take that victory.
Mm-hmm.
But again, props to Brody King for
hell of a showing from guys like
how
Brody
much
King,
he did.
Andrade having a hell of a run in this tournament, although losing, I believe, every one of his matches. Daniel Garcia having a hell of a run in this tournament.
Again, somehow, like, despite losing, he still has earned such a spotlight from this tournament.
And that's one of those things, like, if you book something correctly, wins and losses, yes, they do matter from time to time, but, like,
They aren't everything.
You can get over with a loss. And constant losses, too, if you do it properly. So
absolutely. And again, that's good booking, and that's good storytelling, and it's just good knowledge to have, I would say, especially for a lot of indie wrestlers and just different wrestlers out there. Wins and losses don't always have to matter, as long as it's a good story being told.
And that's it. With that said, that covers through our top three for this week. I'm going to quickly run down the Rampage card from Friday night and go through that quickly, and then we'll dive into the rest of Collision. So on Rampage, we had Top Flight in action, Andretti taking on Penta, Commander, and Vikingo. Top Flight and Andretti getting the victory. The reason why I wanted to allude to this is we'll come back to it in a little bit.
Yep.
To understand.
Yep.
OC and the Von Erichs taking on the what I literally wrote down as the JAS leftovers, because at this point, honestly, that's kind of what it is. I wish they were doing a little bit more with the guys, but yeah, Daddy Magic, Cool Hand Ange, and Jake Hager.
See, like, we've gotten some Daddy Magic on commentary. It's like a weird little loophole that I've noticed in Garcia's tournament matches that Daddy Magic has been taking the mic. But otherwise, yeah, unfortunately, not a lot of great use there.
It sucks because, like, all three guys are talented. I think Hager's talented as well. It's just, like, after being with Jericho and, like, there's really kind of no direction for those guys going forward except, like, we're the leftover guys. And it's like,
how much can you really do with that?
Yeah, how much can you stretch that?
And exactly. And unfortunately, I have to say with Hager, it's a lot of clinging to past jokes and past, you know, moments, and just we just need to see something new.
I will see seeing OC Orange Cassidy interact with Kevin Von Erich was hilarious. Count that on the bingo card of things that I didn't think would happen on AEW television. But yes, moving on to the other matches on the show. Speaking of the JAS leftovers, Anna Jay taking on Red Velvet. And then we had the Don Callis family in action as Kyle Fletcher and Powerhouse Hobbs representing the faction. I am very curious. I don't think we've had a chance to address this before we go into the rest of Collision. All of a sudden on social media, Kenny Omega posting that he's going to be out indefinitely, and it being reported by Sean Ross Sapp, shout out Fightful, that he has been diagnosed with diverticulitis. And if you're not aware of that, it's the same disease, same situation that Brock Lesnar went through throughout his run with the UFC, and that's what ended his career. So,
and just an incredibly painful, I'm going to just refer to it as an illness. I don't know exactly how to refer to it.
I said disease, but I'm like, I'm not even too sure.
And I don't think it's a disease. I don't know. It's a very painful condition.
Yep.
He essentially said that he tried hard to ignore the pain. He wrestled through it.
Yeah, he wrestled against Ethan Page. And had a solid match, too. Like, they did some crazy shit. I know there was the cutter through the table on the outside. That was Final Battle against Nice. But no, they did some solid stuff. It's not like they phoned it in at all. And to see that Kenny is now, like, out and hurting as much as he was, like, what a goddamn trooper.
I just hope that, because diverticulitis, if it was to get really serious, not to get super, super medical right now, but could lead to a required surgery. Yeah. So he, in his post, made it sound like I hopefully caught it in time. So All the best to Omega.
Yeah, no, and again, going back to what I was saying, Golden Jets were supposed to get a tag team championship opportunity on the pay-per-view. With that said, do we kind of see the Don Callis family take that spot with the whole stuff that's been going forward with him and Jericho and him and Omega? I would make the most sense as Jericho find another partner. It's kind of one of those things where
do we go from here now? Yep. It's like a very legitimate shift that was unexpected. So
yeah, it sucks. It genuinely does suck, because I know a lot of people were kind of over the Golden Jets, but it was interesting to see not only Kenny, but Jericho in a different dynamic. Kenny's been as a tag team before. He's been tag team champion before with Hangman Page. However, Chris Jericho, yes, he's had some tag team interactions with certain guys, but, like, not necessarily a full-blown tag team.
Not really much of a partnership. He's more of a leader than a partner.
Yes, yes. And so to see these two kind of teaming up and being on the same page, yeah, acknowledging the fact that they don't trust each other, but, like, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Keep your friends close, your enemies closer.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things. So
all those other sort of idioms that we could pull out to describe.
Basically. Very intrigued to see where that goes going forward. And like you said, big shout out and hopefully speedy recovery to Mr. Kenny Omega. But yes, moving on to Collision and the rest of the show, we had Claudio Castagnoli taking on Andrade El Idolo in the Continental Classic tournament, and Andrade suffering his first loss in the tournament, but not in clean fashion.
No, a very interesting low blow from Claudio.
Yeah, the way he like lifted him up and just like punted him in the dick was kind of hilarious. Did I get you with that?
The wording. Yeah. Because it's a very accurate description.
That's exactly what it was. At first, he hit him because they exposed the turnbuckle. Not like the actual buckle, but the hook. And then they did like a crotch spot. But it wasn't like a typical crotch spot where it's like to the dick. Andrade was really selling his quad. And then, you know, ref was fixing up the turnbuckle and fucking up, boom, right in the deck, and then neutralizer for the win for Claudio. So it's been very interesting to see those little things. Like, there's been moments in the tournament where guys will
find their way.
That switch flips, and they have to do what they have to do to pick up the victory going forward. So,
yeah.
Claudio doing that.
Yep. Yeah, and side veer, speaking of speedy recovery, all the best to CJ Perry as well, as she has a awful infection in her hand.
Yeah, it spread up to her, like, the middle of her arm. Like, it's a pretty serious situation. So,
and unfortunately could not be at Andrade's side, which is probably all the more reason why Claudio took his opportunity, because Andrade wouldn't have had her ringside regardless, as I'm saying this out loud, but still.
Yeah.
Still unfortunate that she was not there for him today.
We mentioned Abaddon, Jasmine Allure happened. We had the Acclaimed back on AEW television for the first time in about a month or so since being attacked by the Devil's Henchmen.
Yeah, and really hearing Max Caster admit, like, hey, MJF, I thought we were friends, but you just kind of left us there.
Yeah, you didn't care when we needed you. And Billy just started snapping. Like, he started snapping to start the promo, and Max is like, relax and address the MJF situation. And then Bowen's basically saying, like, they're back to be the best trio in the division. They're back to focus on the trio's championships. And yet, speaking of Top Flight and Action Andretti making their presence known, talking about how they've defeated the Hardys and Brothers A. They defeated Penta Commander and Vikingo on Rampage. They're picking up some trios victories, and they want an opportunity at the belts. Bowens basically says, wrong place, wrong time. Like, you're messing with the wrong team right now, but you got your shot. So next week on Collision, it's going down.
Absolutely.
What else did we have on this show? Also on the show, we had a promo from Miro talking about his wife and how she potentially poisoned him. But he doesn't want to fight Andrade just because he's her client. Oh my god,
doesn't want to fight Andrade.
Yeah, I'm struggling with pronouns, pal.
Yeah.
But yes, doesn't want to fight Andrade because he's CJ's client. He wants to fight Andrade because he's an asshole.
It's been really, really interesting.
Back and forth?
Yeah, I'm quite invested in this, honestly.
Intriguing to see if potentially Miro has anything to do with throwing Andrade off of his game as we get into the end game of the Continental Classic here. Are we going to potentially see these two face off at World's End going forward? Are we going to see anything between these two? We're going to have to wait and see, but that was that. We had FTR make their way to the ring, basically saying they're done with the games, the magic, all this bullshit. If the House of Black want to fight, then let's do it. And they start to try and call out the House of Black. Their mic's cut, the light's cut, and then we see Malachi and Buddy talk about, you know, like, you guys don't understand. We don't want to fight you. We basically want to prove that nobody has your back, and really taking it to the next level as Malachi's like, if we want to take it or we want to make it personal, we can, and pulls out a picture of Dax's family and burns it.
Lights it on fire.
Talk about taking it to the next level. Like, that was intense.
The House of Black is not messing around at this point. They really are going to cut deep as much as they possibly can.
And I am intrigued because, like, the whole story that they're telling is FTR doesn't have backup. And I'm intrigued because they just did the bit on Final Battle where they teamed with Mark Briscoe, and they essentially acknowledged that, being like, Mark Briscoe ain't going to have your back either. So, Yeah, the back and forth between these two teams. We'll have to see what ends up going forward. We have Commander trying to do his thing backstage, talking about the match they had on Rampage, and all of a sudden, good old Roderick Strong, Commander! Doing his thing, coming in, being like, it's time to get back on my groove, and looks like I found my latest victim.
As they all just point.
And then Commander makes like, I'm not entirely sure what he said, but he popped the crowd so hard. I think he's kind of like, whatever, or something like that. But like, the crowd genuinely popped so hard, and I don't know why, but it got me too, so.
Yep, yep.
Moving on with the rest of the show, as we had a promo from Keith Lee talking about him and
how
Lexi Nair basically saying like, yo, you beat Shane Taylor, you beat him at Final Battle, what's next going forward?
And now that you've beaten him.
And Keith Lee straight up said, Shane Taylor's not him. And it's funny because alluding back to this, we had Brian Cage in a squash match. They ended up coming back, having a quick promo with the Mogul Embassy, and as you know, Nana's getting into his groove, we in the money, doing his thing. Keith Lee stepping into the frame, being like, whoa, before you guys take off, my patience is wearing thin. You let him know that I'm not waiting too long. So I think it's very clear who he is, and
he is Swerve Strickland.
The former tag team partner of Keith Lee. We really never seen a official
payoff.
Follow-up. Yeah, breakup angle. So we saw a little bit of stuff, but honestly, I don't think we saw it to the fullest of potential, especially, you know, where Swerve's at right now. And it's very evident Keith Lee is super-duper talented. So now at the level that both of these guys are on, for them to have a singles match, I genuinely think would be a show stealer. So, and I think that's something that's going to be happening soon, whether it's at World's End or later on in the future if Swerve's still involved with the tournament. We'll have to see. We had a promo from Adam Copeland addressing, hey, I could make excuses, but I'm not going to. And challenging Christian Cage for a no disqualification match for the TNT Championship at World's End.
Incredibly excited.
Yeah, it's
because we literally opened this opened this episode discussing like your own personal ventures and how when you get to fight with your best friend and just how hard mm-hmm. you go, how meaningful it is. Mm-hmm. I see these two guys just beating the crap out of each other.
Oh yeah. Yeah, there's no secret that they are the best of friends. So, yes, really looking forward to this match, World's End. A couple more things before we end off the episode. Tony Storm addressing the AEW audience. And a little bit of a awkward moment there for her and Mariah May. I know that they've been teasing the potential of her wrestling going forward. They even asked her during the interview, and there's she said that Tony's working on getting her an American wrestling license, so it's probably going to be happening soon. I do wonder if they're going to have Mariah turn on Tony, and that's going to kind of be Tony's angle going forward. But
as like Mariah trying so hard just to get Tony's attention and being mm-hmm. like, hey, when I do get to wrestle, do you mind watching my first match? And
do you want to commentate on my first match?
And then Tony just, oh, I'm so busy.
Yep.
Over and over again. And also, special shout out to Renee. As
her shoe reflexes have increased.
Yeah, she protected her shoe, and even Tony had to put her over. Like, all right, good on you, good on you.
Yeah, yeah. Learn her lesson. But I believe that covers the rest of Collision and what we saw on the episode. Again, top to bottom, one of the best episodes of Collision and one of the best episodes of AEW TV we've seen in a while. So, tip
just
of the cap,
so
Brian
packed.
Keith, tip of the cap,
yeah,
to AEW for that one because. God damn. Knocked
fantastic.
It out of the park.
Fantastic. Fantastic showing. And a good showing across, like, being able to have three tournament matches plus packing it with this much.
A couple women's matches, some promos thrown in there. Like, the storyline elevation on this episode, too, was solid. So
just incredible.
I'm really, really happy to see that this was the case, as a lot of fans, including myself, have been questioning AEW lately and what they've been doing. But if we can continue to have episodes of TV like this, we can get back on the right path. And I think this is a step in the right direction.
I agree. And at this rate, also, I think hopefully Final Battle is going to live up to all of the hype and the storytelling that has been done. And it's going to be a great pay-per-view as well.
Did you say Final Battle?
Yes, I did. I am questioning myself.
World's End?
Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, Final Battle already happened.
My bad. Don't even worry about editing that out. That's just very representative of me and my inability to name things properly.
With that said, my 2023 for professional wrestling is officially complete. With that match last night at Crossbody. So I will not have any shows for the next couple of weeks, which is a little bit of a change in pace that I'm not normally used to. But catch me on all forms of social media, Matthew Grant, first days of four, and keep up with my 2024 schedule. It's filling up pretty quickly already. I'm very happy to say that. So hopefully we branch out a little bit more to the United States. I'll put it publicly here on the podcast because I've said it on Twitter, and I would like to make it a reality in 2024. I would like to do a short tour of the United Kingdom. I've been a big fan of what the UK scene has done for a very long time, and guys have already made that crossover. Guys like Gabriel Fuerza, Yvonne Vertigo, Junior Benito, Hot Stepper, Johnny DeLuca. A lot of those guys have made the groundwork for guys like me to be able to have that opportunity. So that's something I would really like to do in the new year. And just again, continuing to branch out with professional wrestling. So follow me in socials. And if you want to see me at your local promotion, let your promoters know.
Yep. And you can also find me on all forms of social media at Aaron154Grant. As I sort of dip my toes into the world of professional wrestling, as was evident last night. And I'll just leave it at that. You should watch Crossbody.
Yeah. Be on the lookout for Flip the Script 2 coming soon to YouTube. Crossbody Pro Wrestling Uproar every single Wednesday, 7 p.m. before AEW Dynamite. You get to see cool matches like myself versus Speedball Mike Bailey, and actually on this week's episode, a huge six-man tag. So I get the chance to team with Speedball Mike Bailey, with Mikey Jenkins as well, along with us against Rajon Husher, Crystal Moon, and the current Crossbody Heavyweight Champion in Grinder Mark Shaw. So, yeah, man, it has been a whirlwind. It's been a fun ride over the last little while, especially being able to mix it up with guys on TV and guys I've watched for quite some time. So hell of an end to the year, and hopefully this is just kind of kickstarting the momentum going into the new year. So with that said, guys, I guess I'm ending it for this
week. I was going to say, you're kind of on a roll, so finish it off.
I'm taking it over. Thank you very much for listening, guys. We'll catch you on next week's edition of Collision Catch-Up.